SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
The best hour of your day now officially underway. It's Moneyline on a Friday, September 27th, 2024. And I cannot wait for this to get all the way through to my guy, Jeff Nadeau, who's going to be joining us momentarily here on the show. And we are going to have a lot of fun talking about NCAA action and NFL action. So I can't wait for that to happen here. And also, my producer in the background can turn off the background noise or microphone. That would be absolutely tremendous. There we go. Now we're ready. Now we're focused. Now the action is hot. Let's get after it today. Sirius XM Channel 159. I can't wait to get through this NFL card this weekend, but also talk about some NCAA football action, which begins tonight in Miami, where Virginia Tech travels in an ACC game to take on the Miami Hurricanes. Also, we had a little double dip tonight, too. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights at home against the Washington Huskies, so a decent Friday card. But before we get there, let's recap some of the hot topics that happened yesterday, which did include the Cowboys going to New York / New Jersey, MetLife Stadium, taking on the New York Giants and coming away with a 20-15 win. The boys were hot in studio last night on Pro Football Today. A lot of profitability. If you watch that show or just follow me at RightsideVP on Twitter, it was great last night. Put some money in our pocket. And we also poured a little bit out because it doesn't look like I'm going to be getting those profit or odds boosts at the rates I was getting for the past 2 to 3 weeks. You had to capitalize on it. I did. They took it away. Hopefully they give it back at the FanDuel Sportsbook and we can continue having some fun and being profitable there. But last night showed Dak Prescott, 22 of 27, 221, 8.2 yards per attempt, but two touchdowns and no interceptions and a passer rating of 125.5. When we talked about the Dallas Cowboys the week previous when they were taking on the Baltimore Ravens, what were the question marks coming out of Dallas? Dak Prescott told you we were unprofessional on offense and unprepared for that game. You knew that they would come out on the right side yesterday and get it right on offense, and they did that. Was the running game tremendous? No. 23 carries for 80 yards. Dowdle had 11 carries. Ezekiel Elliott had 5 carries. And for a long time, CeeDee Lamb was the leading ball carrier for the Dallas Cowboys with 1 carry for 10 yards. That's not going to be good enough for the length of the season. We understand that. We also knew that coming into the season, that it was an embarrassment of what they are doing to their backfield, which basically says, hey, Dak, you're the highest paid player in NFL history. You are going to have to win these games all by yourself, it feels like. Now, granted, you're going to get some help out there from CeeDee Lamb, who's a tremendous talent. And also, pour a little bit out for the people that had CeeDee Lamb to go over 100 yards and score a touchdown in your parlays. It looked like he was going to get that easily, finished up with 98 yards. But the Cowboys were pretty good. The defense, questionable, but they did bend and not break. Mike Zimmer's defense, which was banged up last night, as you saw Lawrence leave the game multiple times and not return, as you saw now an MRI that's going to take place here from Micah Parsons. We'll see how devastating that injury could be. But they held their own. But also, Daniel Jones threw the football 40 times yesterday, 29 completions, 281 yards, didn't throw a touchdown, which is what he does, and also did throw an interception. Now, granted, the interception, not really his fault technically, pushing the football downfield late in the game, throwing basically Hail Marys. Eventually, you're probably going to get intercepted, and he did. His passer rating, an 81.4. Devin Singletary, not a great running back, not a great offensive line for the Giants. 14 carries for 24 yards. Daniel Jones, who I did think would use his feet a little bit more in that game last night, didn't. Only 4 carries for 3 total yards. And a matter of fact here, for a team that was getting gashed on the road like the Dallas Cowboys, they shored up that defense. They did. By the way, chat box popping out here. Mammoth's in here. Chris Warren's in here having fun. If you guys are watching on Sports Grid on Demand on the YouTube channel, do us a favor, hit the subscribe button, come in and say hello. It's a new way to watch and interact with the show. And of course, sportsgridradio.com, SiriusXM channel 159, the Sports Grid app, and also sportsgrid.com. All fantastic ways to reach out, get involved with the show, the Sports Grid Network. You know how we do it. It's football season. It's Football Friday. It's a lot of fun, and hopefully it can be profitable for this weekend. But I was impressed with the Dallas Cowboys. That's a tough spot to be in. And for years, if you guys have absolutely followed me on Twitter, thank you. But you know what I've always been screaming about? Dallas Cowboys never playing a true Thursday night road game with a short week. They've never done it until last night, and they performed extremely well. This could have been a season for the Dallas Cowboys guys that completely went off the rails. And we were talking about it on Pro Football Today, myself, Kevin Walsh, and Joe Lisi. What would happen last night if the Dallas Cowboys would have lost that game? Mini bye week heading into the next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, sitting at 1-3, staring down 1-4. Like, I was thinking, like, maybe could it be the time that Jerry Jones pulls the plug on Mike McCarthy? Doesn't have to pay him anymore after this year. It's a do-or-die year, and apparently if he lost that game last night, he would be dying on the vine after three straight horrendous losses. But they rescued their season last night with the ability and the parity that we're seeing in the NFL. Looks like that's probably what's going to be happening now. So he's going to hang around for a little bit longer. On the other side for the New York Giants, I don't know what this season is supposed to do for Brian Daboll, and I understand. Let's go back to when he was hired. I thought he was the best coaching candidate on the market. And I do believe he is a good coach, Brian Daboll. I do believe also that the New York Giants aren't talented at all. A couple defensive linemen, nothing in linebacker, nothing in the secondary, below average offensive line, below average running backs, one superstar young wide receiver, Wandale Robinson, who's okay, and nothing else after that. So you say to yourself, what do you want Brian Daboll to do, Donnie? It's unfair of the conditions that he is working in. And I say, no, that's not correct. Brian Daboll agreed with the general manager and the owner that the future of this franchise was Daniel Jones. He hitched his wagon to Daniel Jones. If they're poor again this year, he should be out the door with Daniel Jones as well. You had a chance to get rid of Daniel Jones. You had a chance to go in a different direction. You chose not to do that. So if you want to scramble around with Tommy Cutlets and Daniel Jones and win 5-6 games, you should be fired. And at the end of the season, if they win 5-6 games, Brian Daboll should be fired. So should the general manager. You can't fire your owner because their owner is terrible and has no idea what he's doing at this point, almost similar to like Jerry Jones and is all in. But last night in the NFC East, that's a good win for the Cowboys, a season-saving victory, a profitable night for your boy DRS, and away we go. See Jordan Prenseal popping up there in the chat box as well. Welcome in on a Football Friday. Next segment, by the way, Jeff Nadeau going to join us today. We're going to talk some NFL action. I know the big man on campus last night. Look, we love Philadelphia. Jeff and I are Temple guys through and through. More basketball, honestly, than football. But Jeff stepped to the plate last night, fired away at an Army, and came away with a nice victory yesterday. Good stuff. You saw the tickets I posted yesterday before the game, which included my favorite play of the entire night. Dak Prescott over 1.5 touchdown passes, cashed with 9 minutes left to go in the second quarter. He only finished with 2 touchdowns, but boy, that was the easiest 2 touchdowns you are going to get. A couple other parlays and props came in last night. It was very profitable. That's what you like. Build that bankroll up before the weekend hits. College football, then professional football. And also keep in mind, which I like from a content perspective, we're in the studio all the time for the primetime games on Monday and Thursday. We love when there's any primetime game on, but you give us 2 primetime games, we can match up side by side and have some fun with that. That's going to take place once again on this Monday. And it's going to be great. You're going to have fun. And the new look of the show last night, I thought the vibes were awesome. Back sitting at the desk, which it's easier to sit in the lounge chair and watch the game, but you're detached overall, right? You don't have your computer in front of you. You can't have your phone out repeatedly. It's just bad content at that point. So we were able to be engaged in that game all the way through. Had so much fun doing that. And I hope you guys enjoyed that as well. And we are going to do that once again on Monday night. And also, don't forget, Sunday morning, Pro Football Today, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., getting you ready for kickoff, and we'll have a lot of fun on that show. It's a great weekend. It really is. End of September. September is my favorite month, and we're down to the final days of September. So we're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to have some fun. We're going to bring the big man on campus on. We're going to talk NCAA action, NFL action. It's what we do on the Sports Grid Network. It is a Football Friday. I'm Donnie Wrightside. This is Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159, and we'll be back right after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network, and we've been doing this for a couple weeks and having a lot of fun, and other people love it as well. Say hello in the chat box. Thanks for listening in. But Jeff Nader, the big man on campus, he's here, and it's a Friday. What's good, Jeff?
What's up, Donnie? Yeah, it's good to do these, man. It feels like it's 2017 all over again.
Yeah, just getting the people ready, having some fun, shooting it off, watching a couple of these games play out, which included, Jeff, last night, Dallas Cowboys 20-15 over the New York Giants. Did you have any wagers last night? What did you think of that game? Did it go as you thought? How about it?
I didn't have any wagers. I played some college instead. But, you know, Donnie, I don't want to be this guy, but Aubrey field goal looked a little questionable, man. I'm just going to say.
Jeff, the guy never misses, Jeff. It's automatic, man. Just send him out there and oh, no.
And it seemed like as he ran up, the ball went exactly like he – I'm just saying, I'm not one of them people. And look, I mean, there's a lot of people that everything's a conspiracy nowadays. But you and I know how this all works. It's always just interesting how – you know, the whole one, everyone had that five and a hook, and they just somehow win 20-15. And the greatest kicker ever, some people say, misses a 50 yard field goal. It wasn't a 67, 8 yard field goal, 50 yard field goal.
We made from 65 the week before. The dude's got a leg for 70 plus, already hit for 60 in that game last night. And I already had my bets in the door, so I didn't have any bets on the side, but we're watching that field goal and it missed and sort of got like a little bit of a chuckle because, Jeff, we've all been there, right? Whether you had the points or didn't have the points, it's like, oh my goodness, like you're standing up in front of your TV. Like this guy is automatic. You know he's going to make it if you have that -5.5 in your back pocket and he misses it. It's like, of course he missed it. The guy that never missed it, that can hit from 70 yards, he missed that one.
I kind of looking back, I mean, my top play last night was Army. I thought it was the best play on the board on anything. Kind of looking back, I wish I would have been involved with the Giants because, look, we know how those games work. I mean, the public does not win, and the public is getting crushed this year. And I've noticed in the first 3-4 weeks, how many 5 or 6 point, 7 point favorites have there been? Yes. You know, 9 point favorites. Everybody's come through the back door. Underdogs of 5.5 or more, 15-2 this year against the spread. So, I mean, if you're backing underdogs, you're cleaning up.
Yeah, there are strategies that Jeff and I certainly have implemented in the past where you know what to look for and say, how many tickets are going this way? That line is dropping. This doesn't make any sense. And quite frankly, you'll probably just pin that on the Philadelphia Eagles too last week going up against the New Orleans Saints and maybe even do it this week again. Like, these lines don't make sense. This should be an easy victory. And by the third quarter, going like, you should have known better at that point. So, yes, the NFL certainly tops the trophy toughness. What do you got?
Case in point, like the Bucks last week, right? Yeah. Or when they beat Detroit, and then they followed up last week and lose.
What
so
a clunker.
I mean, it's a week to week league. I look at a game tonight, like in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how many people are out there saying Rutgers home? It's a big home game. This is where Tony Soprano went to college. Like they don't know he's a fake character. He's not real, and they'll use that as a reason to bet Rutgers tonight. Yet Washington's off a bye. They have the better quarterback and better offense. And what do we see the number? The number is dropping in terms of Rutgers. I think Washington's the play here. So there's a lot of things that just don't matter nowadays, and you have to look through the crap to get through to see the sun.
Yeah, it is always fun, too. Is that, wait a second, Rutgers minus all they have to do is win in their home and how well they're playing this year? That's why the reasoning that line is sitting there at 1.5 and a total at 45.5. The other game tonight, though, Jeff, top 10 team Miami Hurricanes taking on Virginia Tech. We've seen some market fluctuation in this game. The look-ahead line, 13.5 for Miami, as high as 19.5, now back down to 17.5. Any looks tonight on that Hurricanes-Virginia Tech game tonight?
Yeah, to me, the only play that I was interested in was, you know, I know you occasionally bet a team total. I like the team total for Miami here.
Yeah.
You're going to have to lay a little juice, but you can get 34.5 on Miami. I think that's kind of an important number. That said, I mean, Miami's gotten a 40 or more in every game. I don't know that this is a game where they're really going to slip up. I mean, it's not like Virginia Tech has a great defense. This is a group that gave up 34 to Vandy, lost that game in overtime. Miami is the best passing offense in the country, at least to me, outside of Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is just a machine, but Miami's right there. They have the Heisman favorite right now. And I think in the betting odds, he is the favorite. They play a really fun brand of offense. They're going to throw, a lot of big play capabilities. And when you have a team total in this range, you need the big 50, 60 yard runs or passes from scrimmage. That would be where I'd look here. I think this is a slightly better offense maybe than the teams that Miami has played so far. Virginia Tech can move the ball with Kyron Jones, but I kind of had them around 17. And that said, yeah. South Florida was shut down by Miami, and I have South Florida as a better offense than Virginia Tech. Yeah. So I'm not looking to step in front of them right now.
Yeah, Miami is fun. You're right about that. I mean, the fact of the matter is when you do have team totals or take a team, it's not like, hey, you know what, like Army last night. You know what they do. It's not going to be, hey, three plays, 68 yards and a touchdown. It's going to be nine plays, 68 yards and a touchdown. Takes time off the clock. Not quick there. But Miami can score at any time. Three legitimate wide receivers that can get downfield. A couple really good tight ends and home run hitting backs. Even the freshman kids are running wild, like you saw last week against South Florida. Before we get to the Saturday slate, Jeff, I want to start talking to this topic, and we'll bleed it over into the next segment. The NIL in college football, hitting a new level at this point, where players are saying, look, I was supposed to get more. I don't know what kind of information was flowing back and forth, but I didn't get my money. Now I'm going to redshirt after three games here. How do we look at that situation that's taking place in UNLV, and what's going to be the future of the NIL here with that?
Well, I think Matt Sluka has no one to blame but himself in this situation.
Yes, correct. I mean, I'm with you.
From what I understand and what's been reported, it was a verbal agreement. You're dealing with six figures. You got a verbal agreement that they were going to do something. Where is the liaison that like covers this stuff? I'm going to guess that Shedeur Sanders has no verbal agreements. I'm going to guess that Cameron Ward has no verbal agreements. Livy Dunn, the top female NIL, she doesn't have any verbal agreements. Just an insane thought. I think Matt Sluka is got an issue on his hands here. If I'm them, I'd say, well, we have no agreement. You know, and look, if they didn't pay him, they should have. That's what good business people do. But
yeah,
I think they both have egg on their faces here. I think he's going to go play at JMU with his old coach. That's exactly what's going to happen here, who's now at JMU. It's tough. I think the NIL is fine. It's the transfer portal that's more of a problem to me.
Yeah, it's craziness out there. We'll talk more college football next and certainly hit that Sunday NFL slate. Jeff Nadeau, Donnie Wrightside, Sports Grid Network on a Friday. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Excuse me, Moneyline here. Jeff Nadeau, Donnie Wrightside, having some fun with this weekend's action. I think Jeff hit the nail on the head with the NIL. I mean, we've all bought houses in our lives, right? Can you imagine if you settled with a builder, shook hands on the deal, moved in 3 days later, and the builder goes like, I know I told you this price, but boy, it was really expensive. Another 40% I'm going to need from you today. And you're like, no, like handshake agreement. We told this. Get everything in writing, people, because if it was in writing, Jeff Wright, he'd still beat UNLV, but he would just go to the local circuit judge and say, I'm putting a judgment here on this $100,000. He'd get his money and continue to play. Now he's out. But let me ask you this question. Used to be back in the day, Jeff, if you got into the football game, you burned your red shirt, which means you didn't get a year back. What do we make of now this NIL? You can transfer whenever you want. Let me play three games, showcase my talent, ask for more money. If I don't get it, I'm just going to pull out and say, you know what? I'm going somewhere else when the portal opens up.
I think if this story's taught us anything, and notice this is not a big football school. This is not a big name guy.
Yeah.
The big schools know this. You have to have a liaison that handles all this paperwork, mm-hmm. that handles all this stuff. I think if UNLV, you got to get a handle on that because a verbal agreement is just insane. That said, there needs to be certain transfer rules where you can, let's say, only transfer once, or you can only transfer if coach leaves, or you got to have certain rules in place that cover stuff like this. Some of these kids that are like 26, 27, they've transferred four or five times. What it really shows me is that I think one of the words that we've lost in society is loyalty, right? If something's not good, you don't like it, you just run away and hide. And this is why one of the things that I liked about like a Quinyon Mitchell, who now plays with the Eagles, you know, it didn't matter that Alabama came calling. He had told Toledo, you recruited me, you were in my corner, I'm going to stay here. That's lost in today's society. It's weird that he did that to a lot of people. So I think that's more of just an ethic and loyalty problem. But look, I don't knock these kids. Go make money doing what you're doing. But you got to get some written a written contract in place. Even if it just says UNLV say you're going to pay this guy on this date, to not have anything is crazy.
I'd be suing like my liaison slash agent, whatever group he's with there. I saw the guy saying, "Oh, they reneged on their deal, so they're not going to give it to him here." And only to find out like that guy's not even licensed in the state of Nevada. And you know, he's like, "We never agreed to anything." It's like, my goodness, man. Like the kid's probably not going to go pro. So $100,000, nice little boost, and say, "I'm going to get my degree. I got $100,000. I don't have any debt leaving college." Would have been great, as opposed to UNLV going like, "Well, we agreed to like $3,000 in a moving stipend at this point." So you see where that's going, but the NIL certainly is a big deal. I'll tell you where the NIL is a big deal. Georgia and Alabama, 7:30 kickoff, Jeff, Saturday night. Alabama, the dogs at home, with the dogs coming in on the road. Who wins that game with Georgia, Alabama Saturday?
Now, I'm going to guess there's no verbal agreements with all the players on these teams.
Correct.
That said, also, what is it just a pay-for-play thing? What does Matt Sluka do for your company? Like, I don't understand. What is he getting $100,000 for? Is it just a player? I guess that's what it is now.
Yeah, Jeff, hear me out on this, because here's my whole point. Like, I was under the impression, because I played, you know, Division III college football, we didn't get money. We had to pay to play football at school, which, again, is irrelevant at this point. But I always thought to myself, like, the NIL should be, Jeff, right? You go to the school, and if you're not a top 10 school with a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, like you could put, like, just say Caleb Williams on TV at USC and say, hey, you know what? He's recognizable, Jeff. He can sell cars. He's worth $250,000 to that company. But I thought it would be good, like the local Chipotle would be like, you know what? Come down here on the weekend and sign some autographs. You'll get free Chipotle for the season and we'll give you like $1,500. I'm like, that's a name, image, likeness, you're using it. When did it turn into, Jeff, where you were just saying, forget your name, forget your image, forget your likeness. Just come here and play football. We'll give you $1,000,000. That's not what NIL was supposed to be.
No, that's not what it's supposed to be. And that's where I don't understand it. I guess it's just truly pay for play. As far as this game, it's a tough game. You know, these games are difficult. I think a lot of people are going to say, okay, I can get Georgia minus, you know, they're now an underdog. I mean, that's pretty insane. I liked Alabama when this number opened at 2.5. They're now a favorite. It's a pick 'em now.
Wow, they are. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That said, it kind of takes the luster away. I think to me, it's a coin flip, though. I have the better quarterback in Milroe. Defenses are kind of a flip. It's a tough game. I have no interest. I'm hoping Alabama wins. I have Alabama to make the playoff. It's a pretty big bet for me. This will go a long way in doing that. But to me, there are way better wagers on this card as opposed to this coin flip.
Yeah, it's interesting because I just brought that up on the odds board there. That, you know, early look line -4.5 for Georgia flipped down. I remember putting out some videos yesterday, 2.5 there for Alabama. Now Alabama at a lot of books here is sitting at the favorite, which is incredible. Total in that game, let's set at 50.5, 49.5, depending on where you're shopping. But it used to be in the past, Jeff. The loser of this football game probably doesn't make the college football playoff. Now you can lose and still get into the college football playoff. Plays out in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night. More football talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. He's Jeff Nadeau, the big man on campus, joining us on a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside. Fandom, sometimes get into, Jeff. I know we don't talk a lot of handicapping Major League Baseball. Your Yankees won the division. My Phillies won the division. Playoff baseball starting next week. You excited? Do you watch? What do you do with baseball anymore?
Actually, I am excited. Before the season, I grabbed the Yankees to win the World Series. I am pretty excited. You know, they won the AL East last night. You know, look, as far as the AL is concerned, I'm pretty happy. So I'm feeling good with the bet, the wager. You know, obviously the number I got is way better than the number available now. But you know, there's a very interesting storylines. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani is terrific. Yep. They're in, of course. You know, you got, you know, even like a Detroit is playing well. I noticed Phillies, they've kind of tailed off ever since, the All-Star break. It seems like they've been in a decline since then. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I got the Yankees at 20-1. You know, not the greatest number in the world, but way better than that 4-1 that's out there now.
Yeah, wild card start up early next week. You got the day baseball here, sort of carry over. It's a good time. I know Jeff loves his college basketball. Before you know it, they'll be tipping off somewhere
on some
aircraft carrier. Yeah, somewhere in Cancun in a ballroom, and away you go into that season. So a lot to keep an eye on at this point. By the way, other Saturday games, Jeff. I know sometimes you look at the top 10 teams, but we're more likely sometimes looking at some G5 schools. Do you have any looks tomorrow on any games that the people out there should know about?
Yeah, a game that I would bet quick. This number's dissipating. There's still some 3.5s left, though. I like UTSA plus 3.5 against East Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, Donnie, one of the things that I really like to do is find teams that maybe are 2-2, 1-3 in out-of-conference play, and now we're worried about conference play. That's all we're worried about. We're not worried about what happened against Texas or Michigan. What are we going to do in our conference? And the slate's 0-0 right now. UTSA is maligned. They're 2-2. They've had some bad, ugly losses. That said, this is still one of the better teams in the American Athletic Conference, in my opinion. ECU leads the country, Donnie, in turnovers per game with 14. They just can't hold on to the ball. Their defense lost their top corner recently to a season-ending knee injury. Yeah. I think UTSA is kind of looking at kind of getting their season going. They still are 2-2. It's 0-0 in the AAC. I think they're still a pretty good offense. They're well coached. This number was 4.5 a couple of days ago. It's now down to 3, 3.5. I even see a 2.5 out there. So if you can find a 3.5 for this game, I like UTSA. I think they beat ECU, beat them last year, a 41-27. Was that a better UTSA team? Yes, but it still doesn't warrant them being an underdog. I don't know that Greenville, North Carolina is a 3-point worth a home field advantage. So give me the Road Runners.
There you go. Road Runners action for Saturday. Let's flip it over to the NFL, Jeff. And I know both of us are Eagles fans. I was mildly surprised where the Eagles went down and beat New Orleans in a game where New Orleans couldn't be stopped on offense through the first two games. The Eagles defense played really well. The Eagles offense finally got it going late in that game despite multiple injuries. And they find themselves now on the road this weekend before a bye week, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This line has always been interesting to me, Jeff. Opened up as a 2.5-point favorite for the Eagles, has hovered around that all week. Now we're seeing on Friday, 1.5s and twos and a total of 42.5. The Eagles are a little bit of damaged goods going down to play the Bucs. The Bucs banged up a little bit as well. Any looks this weekend on Philadelphia and Tampa Bay?
Well, I think one thing you and I both fancy ourselves as is odds makers. I try to create odds. I had a hard time making a line in this game. I don't know how you figure it out. These are two teams that have looked good at times. They've looked bad at times. Mm-hmm. Throw in the fact that these injuries are like a mass casualty unit for these teams. Who the hell is going to play for this group, Tampa? I mean, they have all sorts of guys, limited participants, did not participate. Vita Vea, Antoine Winfield, Mike Evans, Yaya Diaby. Mm-hmm. Look, a lot of these guys probably will play, but are they 100%? Eagles aren't going to have A.J. Brown. They're not going to have Devontae Smith. They may or may not have Lane Johnson. It's a mess of a game. If you're the Eagles, though, this could really set up good for you. You win this game. You go to 3-1. You got your bye week next week. You get everybody healthy. Yep. Then you get the Browns coming in, which the Browns have been poor. So it's a hard game. I don't have an edge like I feel like I did last week. I really liked the Eagles and was able to get the job done. But with all the players out, I mean, that means that Jahan Dotson, who hasn't even been targeted in games with guys out, he's going to be your probably top receiver. Paris Campbell, who's a practice squad guy. You're just going to double Dallas Goedert. I think the under could be the play of anything. I just don't see where either team moves the ball. Could be an ugly game. Not a game I'll be wagering on.
Yeah, like the Eagles' explosive plays. I mean, where are they going to come from at this point without your explosive players? Yeah. I mean, granted, Saquon Barkley can bust off a 65-yard run, not anticipated, but more of a, hey, let's give Saquon a lot of work here because we know next week he doesn't have to play. He's going to be rested up before the cavalry comes back might be an idea.
Well, one thing the Eagles need to stop doing is you have to stop letting Nick Sirianni get out from under some of this stuff. They should have lost that game because of his poor decisions. This is now several games in a row. You have to wonder, is he going to start kicking field goals now? I think it's time to stop the antics and kick field goals. It's very important. Every point's important. You know how important, Donnie, half a point is in betting. It's real important that you take points. He needs to stop screwing around because it's costing his team games, and it will cost his team games.
Like I love aggressiveness, Jeff, right? If you're in a football game that at the end of the first quarter is 14-10, and by the time you get to halftime, you're down 21-17, you go, if we kick this field goal, it's not really going to matter because we're just keep giving up touchdowns. In a 3-0 game, you always just take the points and continue to ride. Because I'm with you. Same thing in baseball. Like, a head coach is supposed to be a positive influence on the team. He's not there to be self-destructive. And the fact of the matter is, after every game, you're going like, what sort of play calls are you actually doing here? When if you just, I understand Saquon Barkley dropped the football against Atlanta. If you run the football, Jeff, you're going to win that football game. Heck, you might even get the first down. They don't even get the football back. They don't have less time. They don't. Well, Donnie, they moved down the field in 48 seconds. It doesn't matter. The mindset changes. Once you know you have no timeouts and under a minute, you're going to start to force things. Just like last night, Daniel Jones. Hey, he had 30 seconds to get down the field. What do they do? Just start throwing lollipops 50 yards down the field that get intercepted. So I'm with you on that one. How do you handle a game like this, Jeff? New Orleans and Atlanta. 85% of the tickets coming in on New Orleans. You see that line. -1.5 is a favorite towards Atlanta. What's it today? 2.5, most books here, for the Atlanta Falcons. What do you make of New Orleans, who were so good through their first two games, struggled a bit against the Eagles, and now we're looking at this game against Atlanta where they're underdogs? What do we make of this?
Well, I said it last week. I thought they were a fraud. I mean, they beat the Panthers. Who cares? And I think we're kind of seeing the Dallas Cowboys are nothing special either.
True. Yeah.
I think if you can key in on the run game and kind of keep Kamara bottled up, I don't trust Derek Carr. The receivers aren't great. Their defense can be hit in the mouth occasionally. I will say they did a good job last week defensively, but was it more the Eagles just giving them the game by, you know, throwing bad picks and not taking points? I don't know. This is an interesting one to me as well. It's a divisional game. You're starting to see a lot of divisional games. I'm always going to lean towards taking the points in these kind of games. That said, I don't really want to be on the side of New Orleans right now. I'll also throw in, you know, Atlanta was a bit of a paper tiger too. I feel like they've kind of been a little lucky so far. Probably should have lost to the Eagles. Yep. You know, at the end of the day, I thought they got screwed in that Chiefs game, but we know that's happened. Steelers can't move the ball. So this is a what gives game, also a tough game, because I don't really believe in either of these teams either.
We'll bleed this conversation over to the next break here. Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. You see this line here as a favorite towards the Steelers, who are unbeaten, playing very good defense, getting just enough out of their offense. I haven't been happy with Anthony Richardson so far this year. Really, really inconsistent. But my question is not necessarily so much about this game, Jeff, and what you like. Justin Fields as a quarterback. Mike Tomlin has been praying that he can get back to Russell Wilson. When does that happen, or maybe it doesn't happen? We'll talk about that after the break here. It's the Big Men on Campus. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. A lot more hot topics to hit. Make sure you keep the dial right here. Sirius XM Channel 159. It's what we do. It's how we do it. And we'll keep doing it right after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big Man on Campus here on a Friday with us on Moneyline talking NFL action. I was asking and teasing before the break, Jeff. Justin Fields, starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where does that land us? Does he just have the job until he loses? And what happens if he runs us out to 6-0 and then loses? Do you go to Russell Wilson? Is Russ going to play for the Steelers this year, Jeff?
Well, but the thing is, they're not winning games because of their offense. I mean, they're winning games because their defense is giving up under 10 points a game. I mean, keep in mind, the Steelers' combined scores have not gotten past a 30 this year. They've been an elite defense. Look, I like Justin Fields. I had a lot of success betting on him as an underdog when he was in Chicago. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, I guess if he does something, I mean, he hasn't lost them games. So I think that's important. Yeah. He's not like a Will Levis where like it's an automatic decision. But hey, it's not a bad problem to have. I think you just kind of figure it out as you go. But I wouldn't run and say, oh, he's the reason they're 3-0 or whatever they are. What are they, 2-1? I guess I don't.
Unbeaten.
I don't see it. Yeah, so they are 3-0. My fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's done anything extraordinary. That said, his total is 40. Indy's defense has kind of improved a little bit recently. Mm-hmm. The only game they've had that went into the 40s and 50s was that first game against big, high powered Houston. 40, it seemed high. I mean, I put this at like 37, 38. I think another under's in play here, surely.
Yeah, two quarterbacks not necessarily known for high completion percentages, a lot of yards and stuff like that. So you might look at that ground and pound the first guy to make a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, too, I mean, Indy is dead last by a wide margin as far as plays per game ran. I mean, they are just so slow. Just 50 plays a game. Next closest is Buffalo at 54.3. So they are very, very, very slow.
Jonathan Taylor all the way in that game. Good luck against that Pittsburgh defense. What do we make of this this game here, Jeff? Jacksonville and Houston. I was high on Houston coming in the season. Still high. They got walloped last week by Minnesota, who's playing great football. Love C.J. Stroud. We don't know if Nico Collins is going to be able to play in this game, that hamstring injury. I know you reached out to me yesterday on that. But the question for me is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They look like they just quit on their last game against the Buffalo Bills. Trevor Lawrence looks terrible. They gave him a ton of money. Doug Peterson is out here going like, hey, what do you want me to do? It's our record at this point. They're going to be 0-4 when this game ends. What happens in Jacksonville this year? This was a team like 2 years ago, Jeff, like circle the wagons. This is a team that's going to take control of the AFC South for years to come. And here they are staring 0-4 in the face.
That said, I love Jacksonville this
week. See that?
I'm all over this one.
27% of the bets coming in on the Jags.
Yeah, I'm all over this. And you know what's funny, Donnie? We've seen this come through 7.
Uh-huh.
6.5. I'm even seeing some sixes out there. So as bad as and what is the public see? Jacksonville stinks. They got blown out on Monday night. Mm-hmm. That said, Houston's not going to have Nico Collins or Tank Dell. You know it and I know it. I mean, they're just not going to have them. I still don't love them on defense. I like Houston a lot. Penalties have been a problem with this team. This is a divisional game. If you're Jacksonville, I think they win. I'm just saying, we've seen this game before, Donnie. You and I both know it.
Line.
This public bettor saying Texans are only 6-point favorites. I got to be on that one. Yeah, give me Jacksonville. I think they win the game.
And as if Houston was like, hey, 3-0 blowing teams out. They got smoked last week by Minnesota. I understand Minnesota's a good team, but I love that. 27% of the bets coming in here on Jacksonville. Everybody lining up on Houston. Good game at 1 o'clock, Jeff. Minnesota unbeaten here. One of the better teams right now in the NFL. If you said who looks good after 3 weeks, certainly it's them. But also, the Green Bay Packers. Malik Willis has been really good the past 2 weeks. Looks like they might get back Jordan Love in this game. Now a 3-point favorite at a lot of outlets here. How are you looking at that Minnesota game going up against Green Bay?
Yeah, I played this one yesterday. I laid the 2.5 with Green Bay. I think Jordan Love will be back. Again, another divisional game here. Mm-hmm. The Packers have won 2 of the last 3 against the Vikings. At some point, the Vikings are going to come back to earth just a little bit, right? I mean, these games are always close. But with Jordan Love back, I think if you're the Packers, you got to be really happy with where you are. I mean, Malik Willis fought an admirably. You have two good quarterbacks there, one of which we know he's going to start, and Jordan Love. I'm just kind of banking on the fact that, again, these teams can't keep rolling teams like they are. But you got to give credit to Minnesota. They have been the story of the season. They didn't just beat Houston last week. They blew them out. A really good offense and shut down. Give me, though, Jordan Love over Sam Darnold. I think they'll kind of keep – that's a pretty good secondary. I think they'll keep Justin Jefferson in check. They're going to come back to earth at some point. I think it's going to be this week. This one seems like a good spot. I think they win it 24-17, 27-17. Give me the pack.
Boy, this is really setting up too, because I'm looking at the ticket count, Jeff. 84% on Minnesota. Line opened up at 2.5. Now it's basically 3s and 2.5s across the board. There are some really good false flag games that me and Jeff certainly used to pick out in the past and say, why is the betting public loving this, and why is this line not going anywhere? Case in point, that game. Jeff, Cincinnati, Carolina. Carolina looked good last week on offense with Andy Dalton. Probably more of a mirage or just saying how bad the Las Vegas Raiders are. But let's talk Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. I thought they would win Monday night in a game they absolutely had to win, and they got torched. Their defense got lit up by the rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Is this a bounce-back game for Burrow and Cincinnati? And also, what's the future of the Bengals this year? Can they get up off the mat and try to make a playoff run?
I don't. I mean, you would think they should. But again, I thought last week you got everybody back pretty much.
Yes.
I mean, what was the excuse last week? I think the problem this team has is they just can't get any stops. I mean, I think they have this is one of the worst teams in the league. And I think the continued problem is they just don't get to the quarterback. I don't know how else to say it. They were a little bit better last year, but you look at so far this year, only getting to the quarterback about 6.5% of the time, 22nd in the league. You can't just let quarterbacks back there pick you apart. And with Andy Dalton in there, Carolina is a better offense. They're going to throw. I played 46.5. I like the over in this game. Bengals have plenty of weapons. They'll move the ball. These two teams, I think, both move the ball. I think this is like a 27-21, 30-24 type of game. I bet the over here.
It's amazing when you take a look at that, you know, Carolina team and how bad they were under Bryce Young, and just insert an old, aging veteran quarterback, and they look like it's like the greatest show on turf. Rams with Marshall Faulk and Torrey Holt, Jeff.
How many people are going to put Cincy into a money line parlay this week? There's a lot of people going to be doing.
Martingale it, double down, people. It's what we do. We got one more segment with the big man on campus before we get you out of here on a Football Friday. Make sure you stay tuned. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sometimes the NFL treats us with some nice games, Jeff, in primetime. Get a doubleheader on Monday night. We're not going to talk about those games. Sunday Night Football, we're going to talk about this. And maybe we're lining up to a perfect weekend, Jeff, because it's Buffalo and it's Baltimore. Baltimore obviously saved their season beating the Dallas Cowboys. Who knows how good the Dallas Cowboys are? Now you look at the Buffalo Bills. They've been really good this season. So you say to yourself, like, oh, Buffalo's got extra time off, played that Thursday game. They'll be the favorite. No, they're not the favorite. This line opened up as a -1.5 favorite towards Baltimore, Jeff. We're now seeing 2.5s across the board. Ticket count in this game, the Buffalo Bills, 72%. Any thoughts on Sunday Night Football with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens maybe being able to knock off the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to learn a lot about Lamar Jackson. We know mm-hmm. Josh Allen. We know he can move the ball. And we know that is a defense that at times has struggled. Here's the issue, though, Buffalo has. Good mm-hmm. offense, can't stop the run. I mean, this group's allowing almost 5 yards a carry, 24th in the NFL so far. That's concerning. Could they play well here? Yeah, maybe. But it is a road game for Buffalo. Again, another team that people just assume can't do anything wrong. If you're going to give me this under a field goal, I'll still lean Baltimore. I don't know if I'll get there with wagering on it. I think this is a game you would assume both teams can move the ball. Yes. I think Josh Allen will kind of figure things out against a poor defensive secondary. We saw that last week. And Baltimore, I think, will move the ball against Buffalo, as I said. So, yeah, I thought maybe another over here. I don't like primetime overs. Seems like everyone bets them. That's kind of my issue. And look, I hate to be so cynical. I just don't bet anything the public bets on. But you and I have been doing this a long time. I'm just never generally going to be on that side. And look, last week, I mean, I get things wrong. I mean, I thought Detroit, Arizona would fly over, and it didn't.
Yeah.
So that's a game I think is fun. Washington, Arizona. I think that could be a barn burner there.
Yeah, I've said, Jeff, before the season started, like, I think I'm going to be in one way or another on every single Arizona game because I don't think their defense is all that good, and I think their offense can move the football. It's the perfect powder keg. So I was with you on Detroit. We thought we would get that storming up and down the field, but sometimes it certainly just doesn't work out. By the way, how high are you on the Kansas City Chiefs? Yes, they are 3-0, three really close games with wins there. Banged up in the backfield, not nearly as explosive. You know, Travis Kelce looks like he's on one leg at this point. Are we worried about Kansas City? Because they're on the road this weekend against the Chargers. And Jim Harbaugh, 7-point favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was a really dangerous game. You're going to come back to earth and lose a game every once in a while. I think this would be a big game in the media. Oh, look, Harbaugh, you see what he does? You know, and they're not a 3-point dog. They're a 7-point dog. This is a really interesting number. I think this is where injuries could catch up a little bit to them. We know that Chargers are very kind of deliberate. They want to run the ball and just kind of sit on it. Good defense. I think they're an undervalued defense. And for once, I'm actually feeling like I could depend on the Chargers to win games.
Yeah.
That said, I didn't understand the performance last week. I thought they were poor against the Steelers. That is a good defense. You do feel like Travis Kelce, you know, it seems like anytime these individuals get involved with a high level female, the game just dissipates for them. I don't know what to say. It's not all great there, but look, they still find ways to win. And again, you're always going to be on the opposite side of the referees in games, Donnie. Mm-hmm. This is again two straight road games for the Chiefs, coming off that close win against the Falcons. Yeah, I'd lean taking the points here. A bounce back for the Chargers. This is a big game, barometer game for them.
Yeah, we'll see if Herbert's back there healthy enough to play. Left that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're talking about he didn't do any, you know, more damage to it. They just thought he couldn't finish that game out. So we'll see if that happens in that game. But it's interesting for Kansas City. And also, from a Kelce perspective, like, he did lag a little bit in the regular season last year, but really turned on the gas once the playoff got here. But you're talking about a guy. It's not as if it's like, hey, we really beefed up our wide receiving core. You bring over Hollywood Brown. He's injured. He's going to be out for the season. Worthy is a rookie, not getting a lot of targets. It seems like it's all Rasheed Rice. You don't even have Pacheco on the backfield. So he's like, you know what? Let's just scheme Travis Kelce open and see if he can help us out. And he doesn't even get the football. Like, he looks like he's got the backup tight end.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I mean, they just don't have a ton of weapons right now, and a lot of people are just keying in on him. And like, I think that's what the Eagles, they'll do to the Eagles. They're just saying, Dallas Goedert ain't getting 170 this week. Do something else. Throw to someone else, and they'll have to do it. So, yeah, they got to get Hollywood Brown healthy. Rasheed Rice has been fun, though. I've been happy to have him on my fantasy team. But, yeah, this seems like a good Charger barometer game, good bounce back. Chiefs are going to lose eventually. I think it's this week. Could be this.
Good at the best hour of your day, people. Moneyline. Did we give you enough information? Did we give you some laughs and some fun? Absolutely. He's the big man on campus. I'm Donnie Wrightside. Chris behind the wheels of steel producing the show, making us look good. We will see you on Monday. Enjoy the rest of your day.